What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Welcome back to the second guest show. Mike DeTillo along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. We're at the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. We'll be here every Monday night, leading it all the way up until the Monday after Super Bowl Sunday. Let's go to our Oakwood Heart Jewelers talking text line. Let's go to Art in Covington. Art, you're in the huddle with Bobby and Mike.
Hi, Bobby, you opened up the show referring to Gillum's kickoff return from that first game. And I was there with my good friend Julian Brignac, who played at Tulane for the late 30s and again after the war. And we were sitting in the north end, and the Rams were defending that end. And the kickoff went, I don't know, but I believe... Fears and the Ram coach worked something out that to make a chance. That was a gimme because the whole right side of the field was wide open. And, you know, the Saints were made up of a cast-off club from all the other teams in the league. And they didn't stand a chance against a Ram club that was well-established. And I just think it was something to get the fans excited by, and it didn't cost the Rams anything. So that's my take on it.
Well, then you look at the beginning, a household name, and my dad always liked NFL teams that had LSU players on it. You remember Jimmy Taylor at the back of his career?
Man, he was really shot at that.
But, I mean, he's coming to the Saints. So it was like, oh, you know, I know who that is. Yeah, so you always look at the...
But, boy, John Gilliam could run now. Man, yeah. He fast. And so, boy, when that seam opened up, Gilliam just took off with it. And no kicker or somebody on that field was going to catch John. But it was just a moment. Thank you. A 5-1 in preseason. And the opening kickoff, you take it all the way back for a touchdown. Pete Rozelle was in the press box that day. And, you know, that was a deal. It's much more stringent back then. You can't cheer in the press box, he said, but Rozelle was cheering.
Well, and that's when the Rams didn't have no yell on the uniform. It was that blue and white.
Oh, it was blue and white.
Yeah, that blue and
George
white.
George Allen on
that. Had the same horns, you know, the white helmet, that blue horns and all. But, Mike, and I mentioned this yesterday, and, you know, since he's talking about Saints history and, you know, what your record in the preseason, does it really matter? No. And, but, you know, when... Now I think we can eventually go to an 18-game schedule.
Oh, yeah.
So you'll have two preseason games. And so it's going like from 6 to 4 to 3, and then it's going to be 2. And because we want to see more meaningful football that counts. And I talked about this in the post game and about preseason. You know, if you look at August 10th, you know, like what happened on this day in history? Well, the Saints were 5-5, and now we're 5-6 on August 10th. And the reason why I'm bringing that up is that was Mr. Benson, Tom Benson's, his ownership tenure that year in 1985. It was August the 10th, 1985 in Foxborough. We beat the Patriots, and that was his first win as an owner of the team. Now you think, well, it's preseason, doesn't count. Well, I don't know. You won the game. Mr. Benson didn't know.
It counted for him.
No, he didn't
know a lot about football.
No. He called the uniforms costumes. He goes, and he didn't understand the concept of a practice. I don't think he played at St. Aloysius, you know, which is old before Brother Martin.
He was
Martin.
A basketball player.
Yeah, but with football, he was like, oh, well, why don't we wear the same uniform? We got to have an offense and a the same color, you know, and stuff. So that, but that was his first win, and he ended up, you know, getting the game ball, you know, how you just, you know, bought the team and present the game ball to Tom Benson, you know, his first win as an NFL owner.
Let's go back to our Oakwood Heart Jewelers talking text line. Let's go to Patrick in Houston. Patrick, you're in the huddle with Bobby and Mike.
Hey, it's great to hear from two living legends, Mike Dettillier and Bobby Hebert, as always. Gentlemen, I have a couple of questions for you. One's an NFL question. The other is a college question. With respect to the two quarterbacks that the Saints have right now, the Rat Man, as I like to call him, and the Shucker, is there a quarterback in Saints history who they remind you of? You know, Billy Kilmer, Bobby Douglas, Ken Stabler, John Forcade, you name it. I mean, from 67 on, if you can think of anyone. That's my first question. My second question pertains to a college game that's going to be played on August the 30th in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. The Cowbell Ringers of Moo U are coming down to Hattiesburg to play Southern Miss and Charles Huff, you know. And I just wanted your take on USM's chances against Mississippi State. USM was 1-11 last year. Mississippi State was 2-10. I really think the Golden Eagles have a very good shot to pull it off. And I think, and maybe call me crazy, I don't know, I think we can compete for a Sun Belt crown. What do you gentlemen think? Thank you so much for taking my call.
I think they will eventually, but if I had to pick that game, and I think it's close, I'd go with Mississippi State over USM. Man, that's a lot of new faces on that USM roster.
And Mississippi State's the bottom of the SEC
SEC, but I think Huff's the right guy to turn that program around. But I think game one, all those new faces, I would have to pick Mississippi State in a close win over USM.
Now, I guess just physical presence, I guess could be a mixture of physical presence and how they play. First, Spencer Rattler. To me, Spencer Rattler wishes or hopes he could be Aaron Brooks. I don't think he can. You know, Aaron Brooks, people don't realize Aaron Brooks caught a lot of flack. He didn't get enough credit. No, he was mobile and all that, and he ran a lot more than towards the end part of his career. But I think if Spencer Rattler could turn into Aaron Brooks, he would take that, Mike.
What?
I mean, he's trying to win an NFL game. So I would say, like a poor man, Aaron Brooks. Now, Tyler Shuck, who would be, because Tyler Shuck's a big dude. He's like 6'5".
He's a more mobile version. Now, Jim Everett was built like him.
But he couldn't run like that.
But he couldn't run like Tyler can.
Exactly. The physical stature, yes.
They built similar.
Tyler Shuck, but Tyler Shuck can run a whole lot better.
Oh, yeah. Jim was the...
That's a good point, Mike.
If you look up in the dictionary, pocket quarterback, it was Jim. Jim stayed there. He wasn't a lot to run around.
Yeah, and then...
But physically, they have a lot of similarities.
Yeah, so I would, you know, when you try to compare.
Not to compare talents. I think Jim was the more talented passer.
Yes, and now Hayner would be like a poor man, Drew Brees. I mean, he's like, Mike, if they stood by each other, could you like.
Drew might get him.
No, but I'm saying if you don't know who nobody is, and you say, well, you know, like if Shuck stood by Drew Brees, like, whoa, look at the difference.
That's a big difference.
You know, but if you put Hayner by Drew Brees, that ain't much difference. But look, one's a Pro Football Hall of Famer. One of them's just trying to last.
He's just trying to make it in the NFL.
Yeah.
On a 53-man roster.
You never know.
Jake Hayner physically reminds me of a lot that played years ago, former Texas A&M quarterback with the Saints, Ed Hargett.
Ed Hargett. Now, that's old school, Mike. That was the 60s.
He's built almost along those lines as Ed Hargett was.
You know what, Mike? And they'd always joke, like Billy Kilmer. I don't know. He went with the over-the-hill gang with George Allen and the Washington Redskins. They lost to the Dolphins in the Super Bowl, but they got there. I didn't realize. And you look at Billy Kilmer. He didn't seem that mobile, but he was a running back at UCLA before he was a quarterback.
Bob, he was on the UCLA basketball team. That's how good of an athlete he was.
Oh, wow.
I do know who was coaching that team.
John Wooden. Yeah. But, Mike, he was a running back at UCLA.
Yes, he was.
He
did play running back in the NFL, too.
When he was at the Redskins, I guess he had that little beer belly. You know, he didn't seem like a running quarterback type thing. You know, remember by Billy Kane? His face is always red. You know, like his almost
furnace face. That's what was his nickname. Now Billy might have had a few
pops
the night before, and the morning before all that. Billy admits that, and God bless him. Man, he was something else as a player.
Now, and Mike, it didn't matter as long as the ball got there. He'd be like quack 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 quack, like a duck. You know, Warren Moon never threw a dug, always tight spiral.
Billy never threw a good spiral.
Yeah, it was all, but he could get it there. He was tough. And he's had that one bar face mask. Yeah, and I'm like, you know, and no, I don't think he even had maybe a chin strap. He was just.
Once in a while.
He was just so damn tough. I mean, Billy Kilmer, that's about tough as it gets.
And to think, Allen really wanted him over Sonny Jurgensen.
Right.
Sonny could sling it.
Right.
I mean, every which way, but that was George Allen. He felt Billy was had a little extra, maybe a little extra chest, as Les Miles would say.
Yeah, yeah, Sonny Jurgensen. That was a
Sonny was great,
that
was though.
That was a redhead. That was a ginger.
Yeah. We'll be back with more sports talk and more second guests. Stan Barrett will join us right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, ESW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Back here on the Second Guest Show, Mike DeTelly along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, and on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line, once a purple night, always a purple night, charter member of the Who Dat Nation, Stan Verrett. Stan, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Hey, guys, always a pleasure to be with you.
Hey, Stan, were you in that number yet to be in that number at SoFi yesterday, right?
I was. I went to the scrimmage on Friday and also went to the game on Sunday. Great to see a lot of folks from home, members of the media and team officials, and get a look at the team, too.
So, Stan, are you telling the Who Dat Nation to be patient, and are you patient? because it's over. Sean Payton and Drew Brees, we rebuilding, and those days are over. So are you patient enough to look, you know, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. Hopefully it's not a train coming at you. But are you confident that I think we got the right coach? Now, if you don't have the right quarterback, you got to keep plugging away to get the right quarterback. What's your take on all that?
Well, I think having the right coach will help whoever the quarterback winds up being. But, you know, I think sometimes, you know, we get fixated on quarterback when, you know, as you guys know, it's a team game. That's the most important position, don't get me wrong. But, you know, it's a team game. There's been a lot of discussion when these quarterback rankings came out about where Jalen Hurts fits in the mix, because he's not a quarterback who goes over and takes over games single-handedly. They've got a great offensive line in Philly. They got a great defensive line. They got Saquon Barkley. They got those great receivers. So, you know, I mean, I know we're fixated on quarterback, but until a number one quarterback is named, and then, you know, folks will evaluate whoever it is. But, you know, it's still a team game, and I think Kellen Moore knows that.
You know, Dan, when I look at, like, got to have luck with injuries, and we don't need to be injury-riddled team. For instance, you look at who's going to go worst to first. I always like that when they look in the division. Like, for instance, we were supposed to practice against the 49ers last year in Irvine, but they were so damn hurt, and they stayed hurt in the season, and they ended up winning six games. So I can see the 49ers, if they're healthy, all of a sudden, instead of 6-11, they're 10-7 or 11-6. And so that's why we got to have luck with injuries. Now, I'm looking, I don't know the significance of Trevor Penning's injury. Now, Will Clapp.
I think Will's going to be out for some time.
No, and that takes a big hit to our depth, or who's the next man up if we do have injuries. And then a backup receiver who might be counting on, like Bub Means. Come on, dude. We want to give you a chance, but you got to be healthy.
Yeah, I mean, I think Kevin Austin showed some good things yesterday, and I think that'll help with the receivers. And they're going to have to, I believe, scour other teams' cuts, try to find, you know, at least one big-body receiver. There's a lot of smaller speed guys in that unit, but they need a big-body receiver. And, you know, there's a lot of talent around the league. I watched a lot of preseason over the weekend, and there's a lot of talent in the league. So, you know, you just got to be smart, find a guy who fits the system. But, yeah, they definitely need some depth there. The offensive line has got to stay healthy. I mean, if you know, the backup situation on the line now, even before the injuries, was sort of tentative. And then, you know, Radons had a had a rough day yesterday, and then Clapp gets hurt. Penning gets hurt less seriously. So, you know, they may need to scour the waiver wire there too and maybe pick up a guy or two on the offensive line or hope some of these younger guys can step up, because I think the drop-off on the offensive line and at receiver from starters to backups is really big. And so health is going to be at a premium. Because if you remember midway through the season last year, you know, a lot of the linemen were hurt. All the receivers were hurt. And it was, you know, Spencer Rattler never really had a chance last season with the guys he was out there with. I mean, you know, you say next man up, but there are starters and backups for a reason. And it's usually due to a talent differential between the players. And so, you know, health, I mean, you hear people say injury prone. I don't know if injury prone is a fair label. I mean, so much of this, as you said, it's just luck. Being lucky versus being unlucky, because nobody's out there trying to get hurt, and everybody's out there doing their best, working as hard as they can. You assume, and so you got to have some luck.
Now, Stan, I'm not worried about Alvin Kamara. I think he has a lot still left in the tank. You talk about young guys contributing. Do you think Kendre Miller can be that guy? We're familiar with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, obviously from LSU and the Chiefs, but I don't know. Kendre Miller averaged 2.5 yards an attempt, now 6 attempts, and then Helaire was like 1.5 on 4 attempts. So I'm just looking, who's going to be that second guy? I still think that is so wide open, that backup running back in that rotation, and who that's going to be. Now, it could be like I'm looking at more you could do. You look at Velus Jones. He can hit it and get it. Look at the kick return. He had that 46-yard kick return. All of a sudden, you make one first down, you should be able to get points. Long field goal. Kendre Miller, 36-yard return. So that running back room, you know, you look at all their positions, that is so wide open beyond. You just look at Alvin Kamara. So who's the other running backs? And I can honestly say all the practices I've watched, I don't know. I mean, you know, Cam Akers, when he was healthy, but that's amazing he's even playing. You all remember him with the Rams. He blew out 2 Achilles. And like, you'd be trying to just be a normal citizen and walk. He's playing NFL. So what is your stand on that running back room? Because, boy, it's still wide open, even though the number of practices we've had.
I wanted to see Devin Neal out there. You know, he's hurt. But he was a really productive player in college. So was Yarns. Was a very productive player in college. I mean, young guys who are hungry for a shot. You know, you hope that of that group between Akers and Kendre Miller, Yarns, Devin Neal, you know, that one of those guys emerges as the clear-cut guy. But as you said, so far, no one's really stepped up and claimed that spot. And, you know, it's a testament to Alvin Kamara that he is committed to go through this rebuild with the Saints. I mean, because, you know, there are a lot of veteran guys who at this stage in his career would say, hey, look, I want to go somewhere. I've done everything I could do here. I want to go somewhere else where I have a chance to get a Super Bowl ring or whatever. But he's remained committed to the franchise. And I think we have to recognize that his always being a dependable player and a dependable character in the locker room and for this franchise.
Stan, one of the things, being on the West Coast, what is the angst level with the Rams and Matt Stafford? Now, I know one thing. You got a back injury. Man, you got that for a long time. Even after surgery, you're never quite the same. And I know one thing. Matt Stafford healthy, man, he is a player. Big time as a player. But without him, okay, come on, they're not going to win like what they would with Stetson Bennett at quarterback. So your thoughts on kind of the level here, that he hasn't even practiced yet with the team, that has to be a major red flag right now with Stafford. And I get it, he's a veteran, and you don't really need, but you got to be out there practicing. That tells me that back injury is a lot worse than what the Rams are actually leading up to be.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like, you know, but it's always cloak and dagger with injuries, with teams you know, not wanting to show too much of their hand. But like you said, I mean, you would think they'd want to get him a series or two. But, you know, look, you know, McVay's a great coach. I mean, they went out and got Devontae Adams, you know, to help out with the receivers. And, you know, Nacua is an emerging star in the league. And they got a good young defense that can get after the quarterback. So, I mean, you know, the cupboard isn't bare. I mean, now, look, with Stafford, they're a team that can legitimately challenge the Eagles, I believe. But without Stafford, it's going to take a real solid coaching job out of McVay to get that offense where he wants it.
Now, Stan, I'll look at this, and he better be healthy. You talk about health. You know where we screwed right now? If he's not ready to roll, Juwan Johnson at tight end.
Yeah.
I look at our tight end room right now, I'm like, and I was like, man, I'm bragging on him all the time because he hasn't dropped a ball in practice. He catches everything. What did Jack Stoll do? He dropped a pass. Yeah, from Rattler, and he made a first down. I go, here I am. I'm talking about it, catching everything, and then he drops the pass. But I'm looking, okay, without Taysom, without Foster Moreau, if I'm a tight end around the league, Mike, and, you know, and I'm sure the Saints are looking at the waiver wire or whatever, that tight end right now, we need Juwan Johnson, whoever's the quarterback. We need him healthy because right now that's a big question mark for the Saints.
Same thing at wide receiver. Yeah, that's one there. I need one of those too.
Yeah, I tell you what, but seeing Juwan in person on Friday at the scrimmage, man, he is a very impressive physical presence. I mean, you know, you think about his athleticism, you know, being a former receiver. But, man, he's a big dude. And to be able to do the things he does athletically, I mean, I think he could really have a breakout year. And the Saints may need it. I mean, you know, outside of a offensive line and a running game, you know, a tight end is a quarterback's best friend. If you can just dump it 5-10 yards down the field and you have an athletic guy who can make plays. I think it's all across the team, maybe with the exception of linebacker. Linebackers are really deep. I mean, I like what I see from Jalen Ford and Danny Stutzman. And, you know, you got Pete Warner and DeMario up front. I mean, but that's – you have to figure that this coaching staff also is going to play a role in this, in developing players and getting them up to speed. I mean, that's where coaching comes in.
Yes, you know, Stan, I agree with you. The other thing, too, is you got to see it out in L.A., Brandon Staley, for us, a head coach is one thing, but he knows defense. Just like Vic Fangio, he didn't make it as a head coach. Great defensive mind. We saw it with Wade Phillips.
Yeah.
Similar situation. I think Dennis Allen is going to do a really good job with the Bears as a defensive coordinator. But playing to the smaller room, I think if there's an improvement on this football team, we'll see quickly. I think it's on the defensive side, the football, and a lot of that has to do with Brandon Staley's putting people in the right place to make plays.
Yeah, I heard Chase Young talking about how anxious he is to get out there and stand up on the edge and be able to use his athleticism to get after quarterbacks. And I mean, that's, you know, we talked about it the last time I was on with you guys. If there's a hallmark of Staley's defense, it's their ability to get after the quarterback. And you know, that helps everything. That helps the coverage guys on the back end. You know, it helps the offense in terms of, you know, creating negative plays for the offense to get the ball back.
Now, Stan, before we let you run, okay, here there in L.A., let's say the Chargers and Jim Harbaugh, that because the Rams won a Super Bowl. So let's say the Chargers would win a Super Bowl. What would it take maybe for the Rams or the Chargers to ever overtake the Dodgers or the Lakers? Is that not enough years?
We're not going to live long enough.
There's no way that's happening. Let's say they would be the Chiefs or whatever. I just don't see them overtaking the Lakers or the Dodgers.
No. The Lakers, they got 16 banners up there, you know? And, you know, that is – I mean, think about how so many of us – we're still reveling in the 09 Super Bowl, okay? Just multiply that by 16. Like, you've been alive, you know, to see 5-10 championships from your team. I mean, that builds in a lot of pleasant memories, a lot of good times, a lot of just good things as a fan. And so, you know, they're with the Celtics, one of the most successful franchises in the history of the NBA. The Dodgers now have just emptied the bank to make sure that they put a winner on the field, won it all last year. I mean, it's hard to compete with that, because in the NBA, the Lakers don't really worry about the second apron on the salary cap. They do what they need to do. And the Dodgers have no regard for spending whatsoever. So, you know, the Rams and the Chargers are always going to be limited by the even playing field that the NFL provides with the salary cap. So it's not really apples to apples when, you know, in the NBA and Major League Baseball, you can use your payroll to create significant advantages that you can't in the NFL. And all that winning over all those years has really built, you know, a fan base that's hard to compete with. I mean, it's a little better with the Rams because they've won a Super Bowl, as you mentioned, and they have a history with a fan base here. But I think the play to move to Los Angeles for them was just market size and franchise value. It wasn't about an established fan base. So they're going to need kids who are growing up football fans now who don't have any sense of the history. They just know, hey, I'm going to pick a team. I like the colors. I like the Chargers. And have those kids grow up Charger fans. But it's going to be, you know, 10 to 15 years before they have a really solid fan base in L.A.
You know, Stan, one more thing. You know, to always remember when the Rams left town and the Chargers in San Diego, the NFL team was USC. And I look at, we don't have a major league team in New Orleans, but it's LSU baseball. That's our major league team.
I'm not sure. It's USC football. It's not the top dog.
But it for sure used to be. If they could turn around, now you got to win with, compete with the Ohio States and, you know, Georgia. And
you got to coach defense.
Yeah. They got to win. USC, to me, I remember growing up, and I think USC football was always a priority, even over the Rams when they were playing in Anaheim, even, I remember.
Oh, yeah. I mean, USC, same thing. I mean, you look at the Heisman Trophy winners and the national championships that they put up. I mean, you know, the fans have a stake in winning. And, you know, they haven't gotten it back up to that level. But, you know, when they win, they are in as good a recruiting situation as anybody, because California is such a big state and there's so much good high school football here. That, you know, when USC is winning, they got a significant recruiting advantage. I mean, Pete Carroll was driving around in his car when he was here and just picking up 5 stars, you know. And so NIL kind of changed the game a little bit, but still, you know, kids here in Southern California, when USC is good, they have a significant recruiting advantage. And even with NIL, I mean, they got some big pocket boosters who can put together quite a collective here, you know, when they're winning.
Stan, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always appreciate your time and insights, buddy. Take care.
And, Stan, before we let you run, would you take in the over or the under when Vegas has the Saints at 5.5? I don't know.
Well,
that.
Not, I don't bet. I just wait and see how it plays out.
Okay. I'm kind of looking at
it. No, Stan, man, he's conservative with his money.
Well, the way I'm looking at it, if we under, like, I don't know, 3 or 4 wins, and we have a top 5 pick, I'm not going to be bitching too much. I'm going to be, okay, maybe, you know. But it's like, well, you don't want to be like 11, 12 pick when, because I think to truly get a franchise quarterback, now if Shuck doesn't work out, he might work out. Right. I don't know. I can't look in the crystal ball. But to me, a top 5 prospect, that's what it almost takes. Like, you know, a Jane Daniels type or something. Oh, they can't miss. Or Cam Ward. I think Cam Ward's going to do good.
Cam Ward's going to do well. Now, I don't know. He ain't got much around him. But
right.
Cam Ward's
right.
going to win.
Yep.
Thank you, Stan. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. Thank you.
All right, Stan.
Stan Verrett always does a great job with us and always a charter member to Who Dat Nation. We'll be back with more second guests right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can, like, express yourself in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Back here on the second guest show, Mike DeTillo along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert at the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. Let's go to our Oakwood Hard Jewelers Talk and Text line. Got Carol waiting. Carol, you're in the huddle with Bobby and Mike.
Hey, Bobby and Mike.
Yes,
look,
sir.
Nothing against the book Football Done Right by Lombardi. But I bought the book, and I looked in one of the chapters, and it said the top 100 players, and Drew Brees wasn't in there. So I sent the book back. Okay?
Oh, so yeah, that's how can you not have Drew Brees in there, right?
Yeah, Mike missed on that one if he didn't have him in the top 100.
No, it wasn't in the top 100. You know, I put Drew to me is the GOAT, okay? And I'll tell you why. Because he beat Brady 4-3, okay, and he should have been 5-2, but because we had 4 turnovers in that playoff game, we lost. Okay, if we had 3 turnovers, we'd have beat him.
Yeah, the right? Again, when so he's at the Bucks,
he'd have been 5-2 against him. He'd have been 5-2. I mean, come on, you know.
That's surprising. I have not seen the book yet. I had a lot of stuff sent to me about Lombardi's book, but not having him in the top 100, that's a mistake on Mike's part.
You know, and that could be, you know, maybe him not being in there because he didn't have a personal relationship with him.
He did not.
You know what I mean, Mike? Who you associate with, who you networking with, crossing paths. No, that does come into play because I guarantee you, If Drew Brees would have crossed his path, he'd be in the top 100.
No question about it. And, again, Mike had a long career, if you talk about with the 49ers, with the Browns, with the Raiders. And then he was with Vizen for a long time. So, I mean, you know, he was in the media world, also worked for Fox. That's surprising to me, Carol, that he's not in that top 100.
Yeah.
Really, really surprising to me. Thanks so much for the call, Carol. Appreciate it. We'll be back to finish it off here on Second Guess right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Finishing up here in aisle number 4 of Second Guess, Mike Dettay along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert at Silver Slipper Casino Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. We'll be here every Monday night during the football season. Bobby, end it for us.
All right. Bon nuit, les gens. Good night, people. Who that? Go Saints.